Well, good morning to all of you. Yes, we did survive that weekend, and it's good to always come home and have a warm bed to sleep in and a shower after a few days out there in the bush. But why don't we bow for prayer? Let's bow and pray. Our God, our Heavenly Father, you are so good to us. Your blessings supersede our expectations. And so, Lord, even this morning, we are here to adore, to give thanks, to worship, and to honor you. Lord, we have come this morning not to endure an hour in a church building. I'm not here this morning to get through my notes. We are here to meet you through your word and through the work of your Spirit. And so we pray this morning, would you meet each one of us today? Would you speak into our lives, and would you change us to the glory of God? Amen. Amen. Well, we just sang, let your kingdom come, let your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. Has this been a prayer that you've been praying this last week? After last Sunday's message, have you been praying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name? Was that on our radar this past week? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, I confess that when I was camping last weekend with a group of men and children and the temperatures dropped and it started to hail and it rained and we got wet and I hadn't slept much because I was freezing cold, I didn't think to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, that yes, quickly perhaps, but I didn't even enter my mind to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It was not on my radar. I prayed for better weather. I prayed for safety for the kids ripping around the campsites on their dirt bikes. I prayed for the little kids whose fathers were sitting around the campfires, having forgotten that they had brought kids to the camp out that weekend. I prayed for the six girls that were stuck in a rowboat in the middle of the lake while getting soaked by a downpour and having great trouble convincing those two oars to move in the right direction to get them back to shore. I prayed, yes, I prayed last weekend. I prayed that we would have a great time, and I think for the most part, we probably all did have a good time. But it's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting when we stop to think about the content, when we think about the focus of our praying, it seems that our personal praying can so easily be diminished or become condensed to reacting to that which is happening in the moment. Or to that we react to that which seems most urgent to our own personal well-being. Whereas the prayer that Jesus teaches his disciples in Matthew chapter 6 goes far beyond what is urgent on our radar, as it addresses that which is not urgent to us, but what is most important to God, what is most essential, the most foundational concerns of all are listed in this prayer. And so the Lord's Prayer, which we would probably more appropriately call the disciples' prayer, begins not at all with praying for good weather or a good time. It begins not at all with our own personal urgent needs, but rather it begins with the person of God, our Father, with the purposes of God, hallowed be your name, with the program of God, your kingdom come, your will be done. And up to this point in the prayer, after our relationship as those who are in Christ Jesus is first established with this wonderful term, our Father. We as family members of God's household now join our Father in His goal, in His desire, in His objective, in His purposes, that His name be hallowed, that the Lord's name would be revered and honored and acknowledged and held in high esteem. God's reputation is our fundamental concern. As is God's program, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is our essential concern. This is what we want to be asking for. His kingdom present, His reign in our own hearts and lives, in the hearts and lives of individuals and families and communities, and churches and governments and schools and businesses today. And as we heard last week, His kingdom future, which is yet to come on the day of the Lord, when our God will make all things new. But the focus, very clearly, of this prayer pattern is His purpose, His program, His will, first above all else. You know, and as we have looked at this, the question that we need to be asking ourselves is, have I joined God's program? Or am I off somewhere else praying my own thing? Is God's concern my concern? Are God's goals my goals? Is it evident in my life, in how I function, in how I think, in how I arrange the values and priorities in my life? Is it evident that it's about God, it's not so much about me? Are God's concerns our concerns? And the prayer could end right here. And it would be an appropriate, very appropriate prayer, would it not? But the prayer doesn't end here. It doesn't end here. Let's look at the prayer again in its context, reading from Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Let's look at the whole thing again. Jesus instructs us, His disciples, He says, pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then there's a shift, right? Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And what we see in this prayer are really two distinct movements. First, there are these three requests that center on God and on God's ultimate goals: His name, His reign, His will. And then we come to the second part of the prayer, and now there's a shift, and now it's about God's provision for us. Daily bread, it's God's pardon of us, forgiveness of our debts. And it's about God's protection for us, deliverance from evil. And we need to see that first and foremost, yes, this is a prayer that is not primarily about us. It is a prayer that's primarily about God, about His character, about His desires, about His goals. But because God is our Father, because God is our Father, He cares about us and He cares about our needs. Our physical needs, our emotional needs, our relational needs, our spiritual needs. And that's reflected in the second part. Because He is our Father, God is deeply engaged in every aspect, every detail of our personal and daily lives. And we are encouraged here in this prayer to bring our personal concerns to Him, beginning with our physical needs. Verse 11 says, give us this day our daily bread. You know, this invitation to bring our need for daily sustenance before the Lord, it's not limited to daily bread. We can bring all of our needs to God our Father. We see this in Scripture. Because people in the Bible, a godly people, they've prayed for all kinds of things that might be representative in this phrase, give us this day our daily bread. People have been praying for mercy, for knowledge, for wisdom, for protection, for healing, for victory, for boldness, for salvation, for revival, for blessing, for repentance, for children, for rain, for drought, for sight, for justice, for health, for safety, for water, for food, and even for help when we don't know what to pray. And isn't it amazing that God would be interested in hearing our prayers for the things that concern us today? God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, takes an interest in hearing about what you perceive to be your needs. You know, on some days I'm afraid that that may be all that we consider asking for. And this is where the Lord's Prayer is so corrective, I believe, that because we are maybe tempted to view praying as the avenue to bring our shopping list to God, our personal concerns. And we already saw that this is not the main emphasis, but it is still there. It's still there. And so let me ask you even this morning, do you carry a concern in your heart today? I would think that most of us here have come here this morning and we have a handful of concerns that we're wrestling with. No? We have some things that we're struggling with, some people we're concerned about. We have some things that we want to and need to bring before the Lord, and we are invited to do that. God wants to hear about your need. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that incredible? God is interested. And so the Lord's Prayer moves from these grand, overarching, God-sized objectives to the small details of what concerns me in my personal life today with all the things that are on my plate and that I don't know what to do with. You know, in the classic Broadway musical, Fiddler on the Roof, the main character, Tevye, a poor Jewish dairy farmer with five daughters, he models a very candid and childlike relationship with God. And he's often heard praying very honest prayers, bringing to God what seems to be even the smallest of concerns. In one of the scenes, he brings a petition on behalf of his older daughter, Tzeitl, and her husband, Modal, praying to God. This he saying there, Modal and Tzeitl, he's talking to God, Modal and Tzeitl have been married for some time now. Not that God wouldn't know that. And he says to the Lord, he says, they work very hard, they are poor as squirrels in the winter, but they are so happy they don't know how miserable they are. Motel keeps talking about a sewing machine. I know, God, you are very busy now. Wars, revolutions, floods, plagues, all these things that bring people back to you. But couldn't you please take a second and get him a sewing machine? And then before Tevye finishes his prayer, he lets God know that he also really needs a new horse. You know, and in some ways, I believe this is what God is inviting us to. When we are instructed to pray, give us this day our daily bread. We are free to petition the Almighty even about our most basic needs. But what else does this request, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread, What else does this part of the prayer have to say to us? And here I want to give you just a few implications. The first, as we already are covering here, is bring the small stuff to God. Bring your small stuff to God. Sewing machines, the safety of our children on father kids camping trips, help with our jobs, help with our final exams, or any of the daily stresses and challenges of life. None of them are requests that are too small for God to hear. Do you believe that? Psalm 62, verse 8, the psalmist says, O people, pour out your heart to him. Pour out your heart to him. Lay it bare. Tell the Lord. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. After all, he is our Father. Matthew 7:11, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, Jesus says there, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So first, bring the small stuff to God. Secondly, declare your dependence. I think this is something that this short prayer, this phrase, is encouraging us. Declare your dependence. You know, I would think that for most of us, this prayer for daily bread seems irrelevant. I mean, we go to the grocery store or our favorite bakery, and I have a few of those in town, I have to confess. And we just go there and we pick up bread without giving much thought about our dependence on God for making that little purchase. You know, I usually don't pray for bread. I know about you, but I usually don't pray for bread. I just go to the store and I get it. And though this prayer in our affluent culture seems to be somewhat out of place, I believe it is relevant for us, as it is a helpful reminder that without God's favor, there is no bread. Without God's favor, there is no bread. We deceive ourselves in thinking that we are independent, that we, by our own devices, can supply our own needs. It's a lie. It's not true. We are not independent. We are utterly dependent on God, who is the provider of all things. The psalmist understood this when he wrote this. He said in Psalm 40:17, but I am poor and I am needy. Yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help. You are my deliverer. We are needy. Do you know that? Can you say that with me? I am needy. Let's say that together. Do you believe that? Don't always act like that, do we? A hymn writer, I appreciate this hymn. Sometimes I sing it to myself quietly on the way to the church service on Sunday mornings. I need thee. Oh, how I need thee. Sing it in the car quite often. But isn't it true? Isn't it true? We need the Lord. Every hour I need thee. Because the Apostle Paul, he reminds us in 1 Corinthians 4:7, where he says, what do you have that you did not receive? Love that little question. What do you have that you did not receive? And think about that. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are acknowledging that if God doesn't give it, we won't have it. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are making a summary statement of our utter dependence on God for everything. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are admitting to God that apart from him, we are
helpless. We are helpless. The Norwegian theologian Ole Haldsby, he settled on the single word helplessness as the best summary of the heart attitude that God accepts as prayer. The word helplessness. Best summary of the heart attitude that God accepts as prayer. He said, only he who is helpless can truly pray. Only he who is helpless can truly pray. If we don't see ourselves as helpless, even when it comes to our salvation, we have no need for God. Are you helpless? Are you dependent upon the grace of God? Then you are in the position to be heard by God. Then you are in the ideal place to be the recipient of God's grace. You know, and I know this may sound like church jargon, and in our culture it's difficult to live in that kind of dependence because we have so much and we can get things just like that. And so we lose track of this truth. It's maybe foreign to us. It's counterintuitive. We more easily relate to the unbiblical idea that God helps them who help themselves. We live in a culture that prizes independence, dependence on self. As parents, we celebrate when our kids grow up to fend for themselves, to become independent, to stand on their own two feet, which can be healthy and is a normal process of growing up. But with God, the rules change. We grow up by growing in our dependence with the Lord. We grow up by growing, not in independence, but in dependence upon the Lord. We grow up as we grow in dependence, not independence. Self-dependence hinders our growth in the knowledge and in the grace of God. And so prayer, as one writer puts it, is my declaration of dependence on God. I like that. Prayer is my declaration of dependence on God. And Matthew 6:11 here is a wonderful reminder for us. You know, a character in one of Henry Adams's novels cries out in frustration, "Why must the church always appeal to my weakness and never to my strengths?" Why must the church always appeal to my weakness and never to my strength? And the reason is the gospel. The reason is the gospel. God came to rescue us, we who could not save ourselves. God was not coming looking for strong, independent folk that could somehow climb the ladder. See, if we could accomplish our own salvation by being good people in an independent or self-dependent kind of way, then there would be no need for the cross of Jesus. If we could save ourselves, then we wouldn't need a Savior. And as soon as we come to the admission of our own weakness, and that's why Paul talks about that. See, not glories is weakness. And as soon as we come to see ourselves as needy and weak, people are utterly dependent on God, our pride is disarmed, and we are in position to then become the infinitely fortunate recipients of God's grace that he wants to keep pouring into our lives. You see, the gospel can only be good news to those who see themselves in their weakness and see themselves in their utter dependence. Who say, I confess, I make this confession that I need him. I need him. I cannot do it. Cannot. And so acknowledging my utter dependence, asking for help, lies at the root of prayer. Prayer is my declaration of dependence on God, even as I pray, give us this day our daily bread. One third implication. Don't be a chipmunk. Don't be a chipmunk. Did you notice that in this simple short prayer, the request for this day, the request for daily bread is packaged in such a way that it is this day and for daily bread. It's this day and daily bread. There is no mention about next week's bread or next year's concerns. God grants us grace for today. And tomorrow, the Lord again will grant to us what we need. Not what we want, but what we need. This doesn't mean that we don't work hard. Don't misunderstand me. It's not that we don't work hard. It's not that we don't plan ahead. But this does mean that we do not worry. We stop worrying about tomorrow. That's what this means. Daily, today, we stop worrying about tomorrow and instead we trust in the Lord for all things. You see, because worry always conflicts with faith. Worry conflicts with faith. And as someone said, worry is interest paid on debt that we may never owe. Hard enough to pay interest on a debt you owe, but you don't want to pay on a debt that you don't owe. Worry does that. And isn't this what the Lord really taught the children of Israel over and over again? In Exodus chapter 17, or rather 16, we read of God's provision. Remember that story? It's all about bread there, manna from heaven. And the instructions to the people of Israel was to gather only how much? Enough for the day, one day's supply. And God, we learned that God did this to test them. It says to test them to rely on the Lord their God. Behold, it says there in verse 4, behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day. A day's portion every day. Give us this day our daily bread. And you see, so this prayer reminds us not to be like chipmunks who stuff their little cheeks anxiously concerned with our tomorrows, with what might be, and thus ultimately failing to count on God and to rest in Him. Romans 8:32, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us some things? Now, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? All things. And so this short little prayer, give us this day our daily bread. It's a wonderful reminder to us that we are invited to bring the small stuff to God, as it also serves as our ongoing declaration of dependence. Every time we would pray this, we should be and would be reminded that we are dependent upon the Lord. I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. And then it reminds us that we can rest in God's provision for this day without having to worry about tomorrow. You know, after the Korean War ended, South Korea was left with a large number of children who had been orphaned by the war, as is so true for all wars, it seems. And so relief agencies at the time, they came in to deal with all the problems that arose in connection with having so many orphaned children in the country. And one of the people involved in this relief effort shared a situation that they encountered with the children who were in these orphanages. Even though the children had three meals a day, every day, provided for them, they found that the children were very anxious at night and they had difficulty sleeping. And as they talked to the children, they soon discovered that the children had great anxiety about whether they would have food for the next day. To help resolve their problem, the relief workers in one particular orphanage, they decided that each night when the children were put to bed, the nurses there would put a single slice of bread in each child's hand. The bread wasn't intended to be eaten. It was simply intended to be held by the children as they were falling asleep. It was kind of a security blanket for them, reminding them that there would be provision for their daily needs. And sure enough, the bread calmed the children's anxieties and helped them sleep. Cute little story. You know, in a few moments here, we will give you an opportunity to hold a piece of bread. Not as a security blanket, reminding you that God will provide for your physical needs. That's not the point of what we're going to be doing. But this piece of bread serves as a reminder that God has already provided all that was needed to meet our greatest need by far. What is our greatest need? It's not bread, not physical bread, is it? Our greatest need is for the true bread of God. Does that phrase ring a bell? Find it in Scripture. The true bread of God that has come down from heaven and gives life to the world. John chapter 6. Listen to those words. It's John chapter 6 where you find, first in this chapter, we read about this miraculous feeding of the 5,000 with bread and fish, which is a great story. And it's interesting how Jesus kind of uses these, even this miracle, to keep teaching about a different kind of bread, using that as a symbolic theme. He says in at the end of verse 22, he says, "But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Serve, give us this bread always." What does Jesus say to them? "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life." Let me ask you this morning, have you received the true bread of life? Have you received the true bread from heaven, the bread of life, Jesus Christ, who came and who paid for our sins on the cross, so that we may have life? That is the ultimate provision. Yes, we're invited to ask God for daily physical bread to sustain us. But this is the provision, the ultimate provision of God. And I pray that every one of us will receive the bread of life. As we come to repentance and we turn from our sin and we receive by faith Christ Jesus, who paid it all, so that we could call God our Father, and become family members of his household.